Hello and welcome to the February edition of Newsline. Newsline is the magazine program designed for people who use Vista services and is available monthly on CD, MP3 memory stick, and also appears on the Vista website, www.vistablind.org.uk, where you can also listen to many other Vista talking newspapers. Newsline is also available as a podcast. If for some reason, however, your copy is faulty, then please call us on 0116 249 8839 and we'll send you a replacement copy straight away. So, in Vista News, it was a big day on Friday the 14th of February as we were celebrating Valentine's Day to mark the hard work and dedication of our many volunteers. Ray Hana, the Volunteer Development Manager, said, "I just wanted to say a huge thank you to all our volunteers. You are helping Vista to deliver our services and so many projects throughout the community." And there's a very nice video on the website of Ray saying that and more. Some news from the fundraising team. Vista have been chosen as charity partner for the 2020 Leicester Beer Festival. Vista are ideal partners, with the theme being 2020 Vision, and it will be a great opportunity to raise awareness of sight loss and Vista. The festival is on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday and Saturday, the 26th to the 29th of February. If you'd like more information, then please call the fundraising team on 0116 249 8806. Looking ahead now to April, the Vista Members Forum meeting takes place on Saturday the 25th of April, starting at 11 a.m. and going through to 1 p.m. It's at the Vista office, which is situated at 16 New Walk in Leicester. The Vista Member Forum is a user-led group for people in the local area with a visual impairment. It meets quarterly with the Chief Executive and representatives of Vista. The forum is open to any adult registered with Vista and is a good place to make your voice heard and share information and experiences with other people with sight loss. For more information, please call 0116 249 8839. So in this edition, we hear from Heber, who has some tech news from Digital Vision. Ken Russell talks with Vista Chief Executive Susan Hoth. Colette has the latest Healthline. Amanda from Fundraising introduces a new member of the team and launches the Vista Raffle. But first, it was celebrations all round at one of Vista's residential homes, as not only was Applegarth marking its 30th birthday, but was also extremely excited about being rated outstanding by the CQC. Shilpa went along to join in the fun.
So I'm here today with Emma from Applegarth. Emma's the Registered Home Manager for Applegarth. Hi, Emma. How are
Hi.
You?
Hi. Hello. I'm okay. How are you?
I'm okay, thank you. So Good. We're here at this exciting event to celebrate the home turning 30 years
yeah,
old.
Yeah, what an achievement.
It is. And also the fantastic recent Ofsted rating of outstanding.
I know. It's amazing.
That's brilliant. Well done.
Thank you. So yeah, double celebrations for us today. Applegarth turned over its 30-year anniversary. It's opening as a care home, which was back in November last year. But we knew also in that month that we had our unannounced inspection, and therefore we've waited to sort of see what the outcome of that is so we could celebrate the two together. We got the result we wanted, which is an outstanding. So an absolutely amazing achievement for not only for the home, but as for the organisation as a whole. The first time that Vista, since, you know, working as a charity in 100 160 years, I think, has ever achieved such a rating. It's amazing, amazing achievement. Applegarth is one of Vista's smaller homes for people with learning disabilities. Like I say, we've been around for 30 years and done some amazing work with service users with a visual impairment and other complex needs. So it's a massive achievement, not only to get to 30 years of excellent care, but to be recognised as an outstanding by CQC, which is amazing. I just want to say a big thank you, really, to all the staff team that work at Applegarth, the family members involved, old and new. We are all together what we make it today. It's not just something I can achieve on my own, but it's something we achieve as a team. In our outstanding rating, we got outstanding in well-led and caring. Those were the two areas out of the five Chloes that they were recognising as outstanding. So that kind of cements the fact that that's me as a manager, and the care cements that, you know, the team of support workers really for doing their day-to-day, you know, job roles, and really going that extra mile to make such a difference to people's lives. So thank you to everybody. So we're hopefully meeting this afternoon and involving the service users to come along and celebrate here at the local pub, where they come day-to-day and come and have meals and drinks here, so they're quite familiar with the area. We thought this would be an ideal location to get together and come together with everybody to celebrate success, really.
Fantastic. Okay. Well, enjoy your celebrations with the people you support as well, the residents of the home and the team. And well done to you all.
Thanks very much.
I'm here at Applegarth Celebration for the outstanding rating with Paul Ribb. Paul, you're one of our trustees. Yes. Can you tell us what you're doing here today?
Absolutely. No, thanks for inviting me down. So today I'm here to celebrate the outstanding rating that Applegarth has got and to wish it a happy birthday. I'm a trustee. I've been involved with Vista now for about 3 years as a trustee. I'm visually impaired as well, so I have a close affinity to the services that the charity provides. I'm based in London, and I've been involved with the sight loss sector now for about 10 years myself, since losing some of my sight. And I'm involved with a whole variety of sight loss organisations, but I can certainly say this is one of the best, exciting, most ambitious, great staff, great atmosphere. And that's why I come down, to be a part of this community at Vista, to see what they're doing and take the lessons learned here of excellence back to London and the other work that I do. So always happy to be a part of this organisation. And as a trustee, you know, we act as safeguarders and guardians of the organisation. And we're always happy to receive feedback and contact from people if they're so inclined. But really looking forward to celebrating the party, and thanks very much.
Thank you very much. So I'm here with Steve Payne, Operations Director, to celebrate Applegarth turning 30 and their fantastic outstanding rating by CQC. Steve, do you want to tell us more?
Yeah, what I'd like to do is firstly congratulate Applegarth on its 30th birthday, which was celebrated in December. But what I really want to do is congratulate all the staff for the outstanding CQC rated inspection that we had just before Christmas. It's amazing to have this confirmation and this accolade, the highest CQC rating you can get. The first one we've ever got, although we've had homes with outstanding parts of their recognition, but this is the only overall outstanding. So to have an outstanding home and three good homes is absolutely amazing.
Thank you, Steve. Kim, hi. Kim, I'm here with Kim Stevenson, who works at the Applegarth home. Kim, can you tell us a little bit more about what you do at the home?
Well, I'm a support worker. Before, I've worked in banking and retail, and everyone was like amazed that I came into care, but honestly, you walk in, it's a home, you just do ordinary daily things, you support the individuals making meals, you take them out all the time, you know, it's just like a massive family, it really is a massive family. You just can't help just almost like falling in love with them. Do you know what I mean? They're just so, and you want to just work for like their best interest, to get them out as much in the community, and also like all the staff. we're any other job, you don't put it with the people you work with. Here, we're all out for each other. You know, we're sort of.
It feels like a family environment.
It really is. It's a family environment. It really is. I've never worked in care before, but honestly, I've worked there for 10 years, and it's just been an absolute privilege. And you do so many things like medication, just the usual day-to-day things with them, and they're all so happy, and you just get to know their relationship, and you forget they're visually impaired. And also, I mean, we have learning difficulties, epilepsy, someone's had a stroke, so there's a lot of, but you forget all that, you really do. You just, you know, they're just lovely people to work for, really lovely. Yeah, it's the best decision I ever made.
Oh, that's lovely to hear. That's really nice to hear.
Thank you.
And how do you feel about the amazing, outstanding rating?
Well, we're all just singing and dancing about it, but I think Emma absolutely deserves that. When I started Applegarth 10 years ago, Emma was just the best person, you know, and you just knew that she would flourish in the role. As soon as she were manager, it was wow. You know, she's polished, she's lovely, she's approachable, and no matter what, you know, happens, she's there to, like, everybody's, she's always calm, she always sorts things out, she knows the answer to everything, and all the absolute histories of each of the individuals, and she's like, you know, she knows them inside out, you know, and she's not always in the bungalow at the moment, she does a lot of paperwork, but she comes in, and they all respond to her, they know her, you know, and she's never lost that sort of relationship from being a support worker onwards. So we're absolutely, you know, we think that is well deserved because our residents deserve that as well. You know.
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I'd like to say how fantastic it is to be here celebrating the recognition of how outstanding our team at Applegarth are. We've always known they were brilliant, but to get it officially recognised and get the CQC putting it in writing so we can stick it on the wall and tell the world is brilliant news. Every single member of this team works their socks off and they care so deeply about the work they do, and it genuinely shows. We've had such a laugh here and so much cake and tea and celebration. It's been wonderful.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Susan.
And many congratulations to all at Applegarth. Time now then for some tech talk. Fancy a new gadget? Here's Heba.
Hi, I'm Heba from Digital Vision. Just wanted to keep you updated on a few things. Firstly, we have managed to get hold of a phone in your pocket, which is a mobile Doro device. It is totally voice controlled, making it easier for you to make calls and send text messages. You can access useful information with it, and it does give you access to the RNIB talking books and the RNIB news agent as well. So if you are interested, myself or Ian can come out and demonstrate the product to you. We've also got an Orbit 2 reader, which is a braille display device. This serves as a sort of self-contained book reader, a note taker, and as a braille display as well, by connecting to a PC, an iOS device, or an Android device via USB or Bluetooth. It is really easy to use, and it does give you the flexibility as well to sort of switch between different features. So if it is something that you're keen on, again, let Ian or myself know and we can come out and demonstrate the product to you. I will provide you with my email address and our contact number at the end. Also, we are thinking of setting up a Facebook group, so this will sort of allow our service users and yourselves to come together and share your thoughts and experiences on certain products, perhaps help each other out with any troubleshooting issues, and it will also allow us at Digital Vision to provide you with any updates we have on certain products and software. So, yeah, a good way for us to sort of keep in touch with everyone, and for you to keep in touch with others as well. So if you are interested, let me know and we could add you to the Facebook group. Also, we are holding a drop-in session at the Knighton Library on Thursday the 13th of February between 11 a.m. and 12:30 p.m. I think the library is on Clarendon Road Park. The session will be solely based around Apple products, benefits of some of the applications that are out there, accessibility features, hints and tips, and you know, ways in which your Apple product can benefit you, and you know, how we can tailor it to your needs as well. One last thing before I go. If you are interested in being a volunteer for us at Digital Vision and, you know, sharing your knowledge with others, please get your applications forwarded to ourselves. Our contact number is 0116 249 8840, and my email address is heba.valley@vistablind.org.uk. So it's heba.valley@vistablind.org.uk. Anyway, I shall leave you all. So thank you for listening and take care.
Welcome to Healthline with me, Colette Hall. China's new coronavirus is spreading fast. More than 43,000 people are known to be infected and at least 1,000 deaths have been recorded. The bulk of cases and fatalities have been confined to China, but the virus is spreading internationally. 4 more patients in England have tested positive for coronavirus, bringing the total number of cases in the UK to 8. The new cases are thought to be linked to a British man who caught the virus at a conference in Singapore and stopped at a ski resort in France before returning to the UK. Experts have been warning for years that the world is long overdue a major disease outbreak. Here in the UK, the period of time for which eggs, sperm and embryos can be frozen could be extended as the government calls for views on the current 10-year limit. It said women's choices on when to have children were being restricted despite advances in freezing technology. Only the eggs of people whose fertility may be affected by disease can be kept for longer, up to 55 years. The regulator said the time was right to consider a more appropriate storage limit, so the government has now launched a consultation on the current law. It will also consider the safety and quality of eggs, embryos and sperm stored for more than 10 years and any additional demand for storage facilities that could result. There's been a surge in cases of both mumps and scarlet fever in Leicestershire and Rutland in recent weeks. In the space of a week, there were 16 mumps cases and 13 registered cases of scarlet fever. The figures have been released by Public Health England, which monitors cases of infectious diseases across the UK. Medical practitioners in England and Wales have a duty to report certain serious infectious diseases in order to track and control breakouts. The report, which covers the period from January the 27th to February the 2nd, show the cases were spread around the city and 2 counties rather than isolated in one area. By comparison, the first week of 2020 only saw 7 cases of mumps and 4 cases of scarlet fever. The reports have been rising since. The latest figures also revealed 2 cases of whooping cough. Health inspectors say that widespread improvements have been made to Leicester's hospitals. A team from the Care Quality Commission inspected 7 core services provided by the local NHS Trust on several dates in September and on 1 date in November. The watchdog reported on its findings and it has bumped the Trust's rating up to good. The chief inspector praised staff and said that the CQC team witnessed many examples of the Trust going the extra mile to care for patients. Inspectors said the services say safety requires improvement, all other areas assessed, effective, responsive, caring, well-led and responsive were rated good. The report said not all services had enough staff to care for patients and keep them safe. Staff did not always assess risks to patients, act on them and keep good care records. The Trust Memory Lane initiative for patients with dementia, care packages that were given to busy maternity staff and an aromatherapy suite which opened to support patients undergoing cancer treatment were among several areas highlighted in the outstanding practice section of the report. Inspectors said that the Trust should work to ensure urgent and emergency patients wait less time to be admitted. They recommended that patients with dementia should not be moved during the night and said that the service should consider ways to improve flow to avoid last-minute cancellations of scheduled surgery. A new drug could banish peanut allergies within weeks of being administered. In a trial, people who had been in danger of life-threatening reactions to traces of peanut could eat a whole one just a fortnight after an injection. Scientists who developed the drug predict some patients may need only a single treatment to end the allergy altogether, while others may need a top-up jab every few months to keep it at bay. Itokimab targets a part of the immune system involved in severe allergic responses. Researchers hope it may also work against other serious food allergies such as milk and shellfish, as well as tree nuts. About 1 in 100 people in the UK has a peanut allergy, and it typically begins before the age of 2. When the immune system comes into contact with any peanut protein, it mistakenly treats it as a threat and releases a rush of chemicals, including immunoglobulin E, an antibody designed to rid the body of what it considers a dangerous invader. Currently, the only treatment to cure the allergy involves desensitization, where patients under close medical supervision are fed gradually increasing quantities of peanut protein until their immune system has learned to stop overreacting to it. But an estimated 15% experience anaphylactic shock during the process. It can also take up to 2 years of hospital visits every few months, and only a handful of NHS centres offer the treatment. The new jab seems to work in only 2 weeks in about two-thirds of patients. That's all for now. There's more in the next edition of Healthline.
If you or anyone that you know would really like to really make a difference for those people who are affected by sight loss in Leicester, Leicestershire or Rutland, well, you can. And you can do it by taking part in Vista's Spring Raffle. Now, the Spring Raffle has a first prize of £1,000, a second prize of £250, and a third prize of £150. And by buying a ticket, you will help to give such support as the rehabilitation of people with sight loss, support for children and young people, and support for Vista's residential services for adults with sight loss, dementia, or learning difficulties. Tickets are £1 each, or you can buy a book of five for £5. The tickets are now available from any of the six Vista charity shops, and they are located at Wixton, Syston, Oakham, Loughborough, Rothley and Shepshed. You can also drop into Vista's head office at 16 New Walk in Leicester to get your tickets from there. But if you can't get to any of these locations, you can phone. Phone 0116 249 8839 and ask for fundraising, and they will arrange to have some tickets sent to you. Now, all tickets must be returned by 4:30 p.m. on the 27th of March, ready for the draw, which will take place on the 31st of March. So, good luck, and thanks for your support.
Now, here's something heard recently on BBC Radio Leicester. A gentleman called Lando, who, despite sight loss, is very determined to go places. And after this, hear what happened when the Vista leadership team went to take part in a radio quiz.
My eyesight's on its way out, and I want to make the most of it while it's still here.
When you say your eyesight's on the way out, what do you mean by that?
I mean, I have an inherited condition where your vision deteriorates over the lifetime. So, and I'm 31 now, and I don't know quite how long I've got left.
When did you notice it had started to fail?
Well, it will have been failing since I was born. Okay. We knew there was something wrong with my eyesight from early childhood, but we thought it was stable back then. But when I was 20, I noticed it was getting worse, and so we went back to the eye doctor, who had to say, sorry, it's not stable, it's deteriorating, it's a condition called retinitis pigmentosa.
Now, this is where the retina develops a pigment, isn't it? So effectively, yeah. and I know it affects different people in different ways, but you have some eyesight. Can you tell us what you can see?
Yeah. The pigment is it's sort of in a circular shape on the retina in the middle. So I've got the very far periphery and a bit of central vision, but in the middle it's all gone. So if I'm looking at you now and I hold my hands up in front of my face, I can't see them.
Can you see me at all?
I can. I can't fit your whole face into my field of vision. I can only focus on a few facial features at a time.
And with those individual features, do they come into focus, or is it just a sort of a blur?
Well, with one eye, it's quite clear, but on my other eye, where there's been some macular deterioration as well, it's very blurred. It makes things look like they're under murky water.
I read somebody who said that their vision was much like fireworks, you know.
In my right eye, it can look like that, just a shapeless load of light sometimes.
No, because it's not... And as I understand it, the condition for some people is stable, but for you it isn't. And you think that at the rate of deterioration, about 15 years-ish, is that right?
It's very difficult to predict. Everyone with RP does have some periods of stability, so I may have had them in the past. But then you can go through phases of increased deterioration. I think I've had one of those in the last year, actually. I think that it's likely that in, say, 20 years, I could still have some vision, but not much, or it could all be gone in 30 years. I just don't know.
Which is why there's a certain degree of determination on your behalf to visit as many countries as you possibly can.
Yeah.
I mean, you've done 30-odd so far, which is pretty good going.
I've done 35, yeah. I think originally my life plan would have been to see 100 countries over my lifetime. Mm. But because of the RP thing, it's made it more of a priority to get it done sooner.
Where's the travel lust come from, though?
A good question. My parents are as much into travel as I am, and so I grew up with it, so that's one thing. But also, when I was a kid, I had this Stalin Kindersley book called Children Just Like Me, which showed children from all over the world, their lives, their hopes and dreams and all that. And I was really fascinated by it. My interest is really in other cultures. Not so much sightseeing, but...
Just being immersed in a different culture.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you go to a new country, and I know you've been to the USA and all kinds of places, is there a first thing that you do to try to kind of get you in the zone? Is there something you always love to do?
Well, I always make it a priority to try their national dishes within reason.
Yeah. When you say within reason, what do you mean?
Right. I won't try something if it just sounds absolutely disgusting. So I won't be trying a cat sandwich in, what was it, China or Japan. Well, heard of someone eating one. But I did try alligator meat in New Orleans.
What was that like?
Well, really nice and barely differentiable from chicken. The overriding flavour was from the fact that it was grilled, herbs and spices and all that.
It's a perfectly lovely thing.
Mm.
Where, so for the 34 countries you've been to
35.
So far... 35, sorry. Sorry, okay. 35. I'm quite right to be corrected. Of the 35 countries you've been to, is the one that stands out?
A lot of them do. I couldn't name a particular one. Let's see. Egypt was very interesting.
Oh, wow.
That stands out in my memory because it was my first experience of having the Middle Eastern sales technique.
What's that?
High pressure sales. you look at something for 1 second and next second it's being thrust into your face with a price on it. And then there's the haggling. It's actually quite a daunting experience at first, but then when you go to more Middle Eastern countries, as I have, you get used to it.
And what's the... I mean, when you get to a country... I mean, I envy you in a degree because I'd love to go to Egypt. I don't have any plans to go, but I'd love to experience Egypt mainly because of the ancient history side of it all. But what does it leave you with? I mean, as we've said, you have some eyesight.
Mm.
Does it leave you with a sense of what the place smelt like, what it sounded like? What does it leave you?
Well, no matter how much sight you've got, In Cairo, there's an overriding feeling of chaos. The traffic, yeah, there are lots of different smells, camel dung and all that.
Is it daunting though?
I didn't find it daunting at the time. Some people might. But when I went to Egypt, that was 2004, my sight was a lot better.
Right.
And one memory I have is of going for a camel ride in the desert and looking away from Cairo just to this view of desert dunes and thinking, this view won't have changed much since the days of Moses. It's just totally timeless. I thought that was really something.
It's an impressive thing.
Yeah.
Where do you want to go next?
Well, where we are going next is Uzbekistan in the spring.
Not Spain?
No.
Wow, how amazing.
A lot of people react with shock. My GP was shocked when I said I was going there, asking about vaccinations. We'll never hear of people going there. It's because of Joanna Lumley's programme on the Silk Road. That programme has caused Uzbekistan tourism to skyrocket.
Now, I only saw part of that, but I think she basically said it was a most astonishingly beautiful part of the world.
She might have done, yeah.
And how does that work then to travel there? Are there cautions you have to take?
We're going with an escorted tour group.
Wow.
You have to have certain vaccinations, as you do for a lot of countries. And we're told that not all the sites are accessible in terms of wheelchair ramps and things like that.
It sounds like the most extraordinary thing. Will you come in? When are you going, actually?
April.
Will you come in and tell us about it once you've been?
If you want me to,
I really would. I'd love to. It sounds the most amazing place to go and visit. And is that the one place for this year, or have you got other plans?
We're hoping to also go to Belgium.
Uzbekistan 1 month, Belgium the next. I love that. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, we like to get a variety of countries in each year. I might also try and fit in Moldova towards the end of the year.
Wow. I've been to Belgium a few times. The beers are amazing.
Okay. I'm teetotal.
Lando, it's been an absolute joy to meet you. Thank you so much for coming in and joining us. Please come in and see us after you've been to Uzbekistan. I'd really love to talk to you about it once you've been.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Jackson Five.
So off we go once more with another group of people taking on the Jackson Five. Well, taking on, seeing if they can get themselves on the leaderboard. You know the way it works. We ask you some questions, answer five of them as quickly as you possibly can. A lack of faffing about is a good thing, and you could get yourself onto the leaderboard. Nam is our quizmaster, morning, and producer of the show. Yes. That sounded happy.
What? It was?
I've just seen the questions. Susan, you got your work cut out. Morning, Susan.
Good morning, Ben. Thanks for that.
I promise you haven't. It's absolutely no. You'll be absolutely fine with these. This week's team made up of different people who all work for Vista, which is a local charity supporting people with sight loss. Susan, I'm not sure. Did you volunteer for this? How did it all work?
I very rarely volunteer for media work. I get volunteered by my excellent team. Who'll say, Susan, you need to head us up.
Excellent.
I also think they're hoping I'll do badly and set the bar reasonably for the rest of them.
That's harsh. And then we think, I like the idea of leading from the front. Sometimes we get leaders and they say, oh, I'll do it at the end and see how we all got on. Yeah, that's the way it works.
Oh, no, I'm more than happy to go first. That's fine. And then I can listen to them and laugh for the rest of the week.
We love you already. You're great. Hey, listen, how good are you at quizzes?
Well, it depends. I'm not that up on pop culture, but I know a little bit about a lot of stuff. So you never know, do you?
Well, we never know. Should we find out?
Jackson 5, BBC Radio Leicester.
What is the... Do we know yet which is the themed question this week?
Well, we had this discussion behind the glass, and it's questionable. We don't know yet.
OK.
There are...
I'll pick one as we do it.
Don't do it now.
No.
Let's see where we get to.
That's what we have to do on a Tuesday, otherwise we'll give a question away.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we'll see where we get to, and then we'll pick. There's three possible themes.
Susan, this all came about because the person that writes writes these wonderful questions, Sophie, what was it? Was it Cheesegate?
It was cheese and pasta. Pasta was last week.
Yeah, she got something wrong with the answer to a cheese. That's one of the things with this. This is quite an organic quiz. We can't always guarantee that the answers are right, but because that's Sophie's brain works in a particular way, which is all good. Susan, are you ready?
I'm as ready as I'll ever be. Ben, go for it.
Here we go. What is the name of Prince Harry and Meghan's son?
Archie. No.
Yes.
If you were discombobulated, what are you?
Confused, muddled.
Yes. Which is the only American state to begin with the letter P?
Philadelphia.
No. What is the main flavour in a traditional tiramisu?
Coffee.
Yes. How many valves does a trumpet have?
How many valves? Three.
Yes. What colour is the writing on a Kit Kat chocolate bar?
White.
No. Name the world's largest ocean.
Largest. The Pacific.
Honestly, I'd love to get inside Sophie's head one of these days. And
which one did you like?
Well, I liked all of them. I think we should do the main flavours in various puddings. Yeah, that would be a good one. Susan, you did brilliantly. The only American state, not city, state to begin with the letter P is Pennsylvania.
Oh, of course it is. I went completely blank.
Wasn't that started by, I think it was a guy called William Penn who bought it, or something like that, I can't remember. Everybody will phone in now and say, no, you got it completely wrong. What colour is the writing on a Kit Kat chocolate bar? It's red. I suspect that's what Sophie's got for her lunch today. That's why that one's in. most importantly of all, however, how quickly did Susan do it in?
Fairly quick. 43 seconds.
Anything under a minute gets one of those. Does 43 get her onto the leaderboard?
Yes.
Oh, crikey.
I can't remember what number, however.
You're on the leaderboard, which is good news. You'll get transferred over to the spreadsheet shortly, and then we'll find out exactly where you are. Susan, you're an absolute blast. Thank you so much for coming on. Do we know who's doing it tomorrow?
I think you've got the fundraising and marketing team tomorrow, so probably Kate, I think.
I love the way you say probably that, because actually you're the boss and you go, Kate, you're doing it tomorrow. That's the way
it
should work.
Now, isn't she? Because I'm
Susan, have a really great day and a great week, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you, no problem. Take care now. Bye-bye.
See ya. Dimitri, roll to me. Martin Ballard is up from 12, although he's come into the studio. Will you just go? Go away, you're not on yet.
Going.
It's so annoying. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
The Jackson 5.
He's still in here. We'll find out what's on his show after midday in a minute or two. Look, here we are, the Jackson 5 quiz. You answer 5 questions correctly in the shortest possible time. Might get you onto the leaderboard. Anywhere around a minute or so seems to be getting people onto the leaderboard at the moment. This week's team is made up of different people who work for Vista, which is a local charity supporting people with sight loss. Today's team player is Kate. Morning, Kate.
Good morning.
Now, you're very important because you're Director of Income Generation. That sounds like a pretty key role.
That's right. I'm responsible for the fundraising at Vista, which obviously is a charity to raise as much money as possible to fund our services is vital. So that's in my job.
Well, we had the CEO yesterday on, Susan. She did it in 43 seconds.
I know.
Which I think she was quite proud of, quietly, actually. Is she a bit competitive?
Oh, a little bit. Yeah, a little bit. But I'll see if I can beat her.
For a little bit, read a lot, by the sounds of things. OK, shall we have a go?
Yes, go on then.
The Jackson 5. BBC Radio Leicester.
Our quizmaster, did we decide what the theme of one question was going to be?
Desserts.
Desserts. Yep. So there'll be definitely a question on desserts for the rest of the week.
Okay.
All right. We only make that decision on a Tuesday. I'm not quite sure why. That's just a thing that's happened. I don't know why that is. Anyway, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. True or false, the Canary Islands are named after birds?
True.
No. Which fruit is used in the dessert Eton Mess?
Raspberries.
Yes. Sometimes. What's the day after tomorrow?
Friday.
No. What's the name of the BBC Director General who stepped down from his job yesterday?
Pass.
Who is the lead singer of Blur?
Dame Melbourne.
Yes. Yes. When do the 2020 BAFTAs take place?
I don't know. Pass.
If your hobby is philately, what do you collect?
Stamps.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Who played Neo in the Matrix film?
Keanu Reeves.
Yes. If I am born on Valentine's Day, what's my star sign?
Aquarius.
Yeah. Really good game. Look, it's another one.
No,
it's we're a Sophie in. Special. So, wait, Sophie. I don't mean, that was really rude. Yeah. Sophie, come in. No, come in. She's like, no, don't make me come into the studio. I should own up to the fact, Kate, that our assistant producer, Sophie, sets the questions, and she does it in a sort of a slightly organic style where the answers aren't necessarily the answers. So, which fruit is used in the dessert Eton mess? She's written strawberries. Well, it can be strawberries, but it's often raspberries.
But it was traditionally strawberries.
According to who?
Me.
Traditionally. You see, that's the point. Just because she makes it with strawberries, that's the way it works.
Okay, but give
a... We've given it to her. Because, you know, just the way it is. Right, true or false, the canary... I wish you could see her face. It's like, yeah, because it's strawberries. Okay, just get over it, Jackson. True or false, the Canary Islands are named after birds? No.
I love this question. It's
actually named after dogs. Who knew that? The day after tomorrow, Kate, is what?
Thursday.
Yes, not Friday. But what's the name of the BBC Director General who stepped down from his job yesterday? It's Tony Hall. 2020 BAFTAs take place next month in February. Well done for the philately thing.
Yeah, I didn't know that one.
No, it's stamps. So, Kate, you did pretty well, actually. I said that sounds so patronising. You did pretty well. I don't think you will have beaten... I don't think you will have beaten Susan from yesterday. So, Nam.
54 seconds.
Got it under a minute, which is really good. Yeah. But I'm unfortunately didn't beat the boss, which is, well, you could see either as a good thing and a bad thing. I'm not sure. It depends close. On how it all works, but pretty close. Kate, thanks ever so much. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Do you know who's taking part tomorrow?
I do. It's Ida who's taking part tomorrow.
Okay, and is Ida very competitive?
I think she probably is. Yeah.
Okay, we'll see the way it works. I love it. Thanks ever so much. Have a really great day.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye. Nam, yeah. Look, what is it with Sophie and these? I just love.
Martin Ballard is around. He'll be in the studio very shortly to tell us what he's got coming up on the programme in a few minutes. I'm in about 10 minutes' time. He's on air, of course, between 12 and 4 here on BBC Radio Leicester. But round about this time, Ben Jackson plays what is known as the Jackson Five. If you're brand new to this, you know that it's a bit of a quiz, and there's a team each week that... come in, or each day, members of a team, and they've got to try and answer the question as quickly as possible in the shortest amount of time. Producer Nam looks after the timings. What are we at today? This week, then?
So far, we've had 43 seconds and 54 seconds. So, pretty good.
Not bad. Not bad.
No pressure.
No pressure.
The Jackson Five.
I thought, yeah, no pressure for Ida Chatburn, who is listening to the programme at the end of a telephone line.
I am.
You are, because you are one of the team members from Vista, which is a local charity supporting people with sight loss. Ida, you're the quality assurance manager. What does that, in a nutshell, mean?
I very much look at how we can improve our services, making sure that we do what it says on the tin. So I'm the person that walks in and everyone sort of goes, oh, not again, not this week. but yes.
But look.
But they love me, really.
Of course they do. Look, there's no pressure or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to be the CEO's Susan Score.
I
on
know,
Monday.
You've done fantastic. 43 seconds.
Oh.
I've got no chance.
No pressure or anything like that. Yeah?
I know. But very briefly, I do want to say a massive well done to our Applegarth team, one of our residential homes, who received an outstanding CQC inspection rating a couple of weeks ago. We are incredibly proud of the team over there and the manager, Emma Hopper. I did want to just put that out there.
You've
well done to you guys.
Well done. You've done it. Well done. And
well done to you.
Look. So, the aim of the game is 5 questions right in the shortest amount of time possible. Do you reckon you can do it?
Shall we do this? I can't. But I'm going to give it a good go.
If you don't know the answer, just pass and move on as quickly as possible. Here we go.
The Jackson Five.
There you go.
BBC Radio Leicester.
Question one. Earlier today, we spoke to the daughter of which famous physicist?
Oh, goodness me. No idea.
True or false? Gelato has less fat than ice cream.
True.
What is 20 times 5?
100.
Which film about the war has been nominated for an Oscar?
No idea.
Okay, which rock star has opened up about his struggle with Parkinson's today?
Osborne.
How many days are there next month?
29.
True or false, Holland and Barrett have launched a vegan cream egg?
False.
Oh, what's the name of the biggest shopping centre in Leicester?
Highcross.
Oh, Namrata, producer Nam, what do we reckon?
Well, actually...
Oh, no!
It's neck and neck between...
No way!
Yeah, absolutely, between her and Kate yesterday. 54 seconds, both of you. Bang on.
Impressive.
So
I really did want to beat Susan, so I'm gutted. Oh, you, nearly had her.
That's the one to beat.
Did she passed on a few, didn't she, Nam? Yes. Earlier today, we spoke to the daughter of which famous physicist?
Stephen Hawking.
Yeah.
Believe I nearly said Newton.
God, that would be going back some.
Oh, dear. You and I would have been living in a time warp in that case, Ida. You know, you realise this. Which film was about the war? About the war has been nominated for an Oscar.
It'd be 1917.
Yeah. Oh. And true or false, Holland Barrett have...
Apparently that's true.
Goodness me.
Launched a vegan cream egg, would you believe?
Who knows what that tastes
like? Lord
have
mercy.
You know where I'm going later, don't you? I'm going to go and check one out. So, producer Nam, does this now mean we do one of these, or do we not?
Well, she's under a minute, so let's give her a little celebration.
Ida,
yeah,
well done.
Not quite
as good as the CEO Monday, but you know what? You're all right. You're doing all right.
The Bluebells and Young at Heart.
The Jackson 5.
Off we go with the Jackson 5. You know the way this works. You answer 5 questions correctly in the shortest possible amount of time. This week, a team of 5 is made up from people that work at Vista, a local charity that supports people with sight loss. Glyn is taking on the challenge today. Morning, Glyn.
Good morning.
Now, look, you're a director of resources. You have to know everything about everything.
Oh, is that what they told you? Oh, yeah, dear.
The way this works, you've got to beat the CEO, Susan Score. She did it on Monday, 43 seconds.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good career move, but we'll give it a go.
Sure, she doesn't mind at all. How good are you at quizzes?
Well, we're about to find out, I think.
Look, all I can say is I hope you like cake.
The
You'll
Jackson
find out why in a second.
BBC like Radio that. Leicester.
Because that's we always theme a question during the week at some point, sort of,
well,
broadly.
Yeah, we've just started doing that.
Yeah, by
it's
accident.
It's working.
Because of the quirky quiz questions that our quirky quiz master...
That's correct.
...creates. For quirky read... Odd. Okay. Glyn, are you ready?
I am.
Right, here we go. Name one colour that's in a Battenberg cake.
Yellow.
Yes. True or false, according to the Chinese zodiac, 2020 is the year of the rat.
True.
Yes. What is the tallest building in Leicester?
Pass.
Which former Labour MP did we speak to on the show today who was in Strictly in 2016?
Ed Balls.
Yes. Who beat Manchester United last night?
Burnley.
Yes. Which food has more protein per calorie, steak or broccoli?
Broccoli.
Oh, you were on fire.
Oh, I think I need a new job.
You might well do. Do you want to still add a few seconds on just to sort it all out?
Oh, I don't know. I'll bask in the glory for a minute.
Right, our quirky question of the morning would have to be the only one you got wrong, which is the tallest building in Leicester at St George's Tower. However, because our quiz setter still lives in 1963, it's known as the Cardinal Telephone Exchange. You could have had either, to be honest with you. Or the Big Blue Tower would have also worked.
What is
it's officially called, isn't it?
Well, it is officially, but it's not been that for years. No, it is officially called that. It's just they don't have any phones in it. Well, they don't. I'm just going to stop talking. Right. Yes, the most important thing is how many seconds did Glyn do it in? Now, look, this is there's a career at stake here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so what do I do then? Do I add more questions to it?
No, just tell the truth. Got to tell the truth. What is it?
Okay, the truth is 38 seconds.
Well and truly on the leaderboard. Have you got the spreadsheet in front of you?
No, I have not.
Will Glyn go onto the spreadsheet?
Yes, of course.
Okay. We don't know where on the leaderboard you are, but you're definitely on it, which means you're one of the top five quickest.
Yeah. Actually, everyone so far has managed to do it in a minute this week, within a minute.
Just some have done it closer to half a minute and have just blown their boss completely off the leaderboard.
What does that mean now?
Let us know. Good luck. It's been great to have you on. Thanks ever so much. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And we'll have the last of the Vista team having a go at it tomorrow. What is it? It's 13 minutes to 12. If you want to take part, all you have to do is get in touch, you know, 0808 100 1049. You can email me too, if you like, ben.jackson@... Prince and the Most Beautiful Girl in the World. It is BBC Radio Leicester. It's coming out towards a quarter to 12, which means...
The Jackson 5
quiz. You answer five questions correctly in the shortest possible amount of time that you can do it in, and you could end up on the leaderboard. Steve is a director of operations for our team this week. They're all from Vista. Morning, Steve.
Morning, Ben. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. Now, look, with a certain amount of confidence, apparently you've said to my producer that it's about saving the best till last. Is that true?
Oh, I think I said more like... Don't think I'm the best and last.
I think it's great. Hey, listen, thanks ever so much for taking part. Yesterday, Glyn, Director of Resources, did it in 38 seconds.
Yes, he did. He no longer works for Vista, apparently. Something to do with him beating the CEO, so I might be looking at a different job role.
In fairness, beat the CEO by a lot. Oh, it is also excellent.
Seems that way. Excellent.
Steve, are you ready?
I certainly am ready.
The Jackson 5, BBC Radio Leicester.
Ma'am, how's the quirky quiz setter done today?
Quirky quiz setter?
Mm-hmm.
Easy for you to say. It's done very well, actually. There's some good questions there.
Yes. Puddings was the theme
That's
for
right.
this week, wasn't it? What's the one?
Cakey.
Oh, yes, cakey goodness. Puddingy type of things.
Yeah.
Okay, Steve, are you any good at quizzes?
My back catalogue of masterminds not helped me much, I don't think. So I'll say not.
Shall we find out?
Yeah, let's have a go for it.
All right, here we go. What's happening tomorrow to celebrate the life of Robert Burns?
Pass.
Comic actor Terry Jones has recently passed away. Which popular comedy group was he best known as being part of?
Monty Python.
Yes. What was the day before yesterday?
Wednesday.
Yes. True or false, you can cook a cake from scratch using a microwave?
True.
Yes. What is two in French?
Deux.
Yeah, not great for the accent. What's the name of Gok Wan's brother who was on the show this morning?
Cochrane.
Yes. Very good. What was that? What was number two in French again? Just a matter of interest.
Deux,
all the French people listening going, hang on a minute, what are you talking about? It's not French. Tomorrow, to celebrate the life of Robert Burns, is Burns Night, heaven's sake.
That shows you that I'm no good at quizzes there, Ben.
Oh, I thought you were lulling us into a false sense of security there.
You got one wrong,
No, we did really well. I love it. Have you ever cooked a cake in a microwave?
Have I ever cooked a cake? Would be the question, not in a microwave.
Apparently they're very good. I've never done it, but Holly Bell, who used to be on the Bake Off and cook here on BBC Radio Leicester, she did a wonderful thing that was a chocolate cake in a microwave, and it was amazing, and it just tasted incredible. It took like 30 seconds. It was amazing.
Wow.
Anyway, none of which has anything to do with how quickly you did it in. Nam?
You did very well. 39 seconds.
Anything under a minute gets the bat sizzly noise.
That's really, really good.
1 second off Glyn yesterday.
Means you're on the leaderboard, means you beat the CEO. So P45 in the post.
How many job losses is that this week?
Oops. Yeah, that's half of our leadership team just said.
Steve, you've been brilliant. Thanks ever so much. Have a lovely weekend.
Thanks ever so much, Ben. Thank you.
And if you have a fancy having a go, maybe you've got a family you want to have a go in, or friends down the pub, whatever, get in touch with us. 0808 100.
Hi, it's Amanda from the fundraising team here again at Vista. Firstly, I wanted to say a huge thank you to everyone who supported our Christmas appeal. Your support is so much appreciated, not just by the fundraising team, but by everyone at Vista and all the people that we support. It was an amazing response. I'd also like to ask you if you would consider supporting us by purchasing our raffle tickets. We launched our spring raffle in January, and you can pop into any of our shops to purchase them. It's £1 a ticket. There are 5 tickets in a book, so £5 a book. But the first prize is a huge £1,000 cash, and all the funds raised will come to Vista. So again, your support would be very much appreciated. Thank you. I also have some other delightful news to help us in our efforts in fundraising. We've got a new member of our team. So I'd like to introduce you to Paul.
Hi, just a big thank you. It's my coming to the end of my second week. Everybody's made me feel really welcome. It's been a lot of information to take in to learn all about the fantastic work that is done by Vista. I look forward to getting out into the communities, working with people, trying to encourage them to raise funds for us, whether that be running a long way, jumping out of a plane, whatever it might be. But I look forward to meeting you all, hopefully in the very near future.
We have another edition of Susan Speaks, the Chief Executive Officer of Vista, Susan Hoth, in conversation with me, Ken Rossman. Susan, you're into your second year.
Several weeks into my second year.
How time flies. It seems like only yesterday I was overdosing on mince pies, but there you go. Right, you're into your second year. Have you run out of things to do yet?
Oh, goodness, no. I've hardly started.
Examples, please.
Well, I spent the first... inevitably, in a new job like this, you spend the first 6 months just watching and listening and learning and talking to people and listening to people and hearing what they've got to say about the services they get and where they think the services need to be and what gaps there are. You spend the next 6 months coming up with various plans and schemes, and now we're into this, we start to introduce some of that then phase. So we've got a whole load of work coming up around service reviews, how we can get more people into our services, so how do we extend our reach, how do we make sure we're supporting as many people as we can. And of course, a huge piece of work around designing the services that we want to deliver in our new home when we do the work around the Leicester Forest East development out on Hinckley Road. So still working up some of the detail behind that, but starting to get under the skin of actually how will it feel to live there, to work there, to operate there? What sort of people do we want to encourage to come? And so what will they need when they get there? What sort of support will they be looking for? So a whole stream of workshops and thinking sessions and planning sessions about that as well. So, yeah, plenty going on at the moment. Thank you.
Yes, well, in talking about the Kathleen Rutland home, how's things progressing in that direction? I mean, it's an awful lot of money to spend, so it needs to be right, doesn't it?
It does, absolutely. And it's something that this is a once-in-a-generation thing for Vista to do. It will be a huge project, probably one of the biggest things we do. And so we want to get it right. And that means listening to an awful lot of people giving me very good advice, which usually means slow down a bit, because I'm a very enthusiastic person by nature, as I suspect you've picked up. And at the moment, we're running the battle of the utility companies as the gas provider and the water supplier and the electricity supplier argue about whose cables and pipes are where and who can do what first and who needs to turn up, which one's more important. So all of those things, the nitty-gritty stuff that I try and get involved with, but sometimes goes over my head a little.
Well, gas pipes and sewers and electricity supplies are never where you expect them to be.
No, hardly ever.
That reminds me of the Tay Bridge disaster, where the bridge was constructed, admittedly in a cost-effective way, but it should have stood up with no trouble at all. But unfortunately, the person who gave the advice with regard to the groundwork underneath the river was wrong. he said it was going to be solid rock to put the base on, but it turned out to be just a tiny bit of rock covering some sand.
Yes.
And that's why, during a storm, it collapsed. We don't want a storm to collapse the project of Kathleen Rutland. So what precautions are you taking in that direction?
That's a very good question. I think I would say I've got a surfeit of advisors, perhaps even. We've appointed transport advisors, planning consultants, ecology experts, particularly looking at trees and orchids and bats and newts. We've got somebody looking at different sorts of heat generation and electricity generation on the site so we can be as ecologically friendly as possible. We've got a different project going on about testing different build designs and how heavy they'd be and how sustainable they'd be. And all of this is making sure that at the same time we can keep Kathleen Rutland operational and safe, secure place to live, because it's somebody's home, several people's homes, while we do that work. Because the last thing I want to do is create a constant 24/7 disruption of machinery when it's a place that several people live. So trying to keep all of those experts engaged at the right time and the right part of the project is also part of the headache, I think.
But as with every project, the unforeseen circumstances will arise, and that can result in delays. I think HS2 and Northern Rail are good examples of that.
I'm not as far behind as them yet.
Well, let's hope it doesn't get that far. Should any delays occur, what have you got in place to manage those delays?
A mixture of stuff. It depends on what the implications of that delay are. At the moment, we're still in the pre-planning phase. So at the moment, it's only our own time that we're running on. As soon as we go for planning and we start to go public with our plans, then we set a whole load of public expectations, quite rightly, about what's going to happen next and how quickly will it happen. So then we'll be much tighter, I think, about trying to make sure we get on top of any issues and any delays more quickly and we turn them around more quickly. But at the moment, it's mostly about that's a new problem, how we're going to talk it through and what we're going to do with it. We're currently running about 2 days behind schedule, which isn't bad, given that we started for real in September. And we are aiming to get our pre-planning applications and paperwork into the council. We've already had conversations with them. But that's due to go in at the end of February. So we're not too far behind.
Well, that's good so far. Now, obviously, it's money. And money is the difficult part of it all. And I know that currently Vista is running at a loss, and that cannot stay.
No.
And therefore, sometimes drastic measures have to be taken.
Yeah.
Is that where volunteers come in? Can volunteers be used more than they are nowadays? You know, sometimes the thought comes that a volunteer is only good for making tea. And there's out there with lots of skills that maybe could help us.
Absolutely. And I would never let anybody say just a volunteer, for the same reason I would never let anybody say Vista is just a charity. The people that we work with, whether they're employed staff or volunteers, deliver a hugely professional and effective and compassionate service. So it's not about whether they're paid staff or volunteers. And in terms of volunteers, always, always looking for more. I've set Rayana, our volunteer coordinator, some challenging targets around getting more volunteers in place and more volunteering roles. So absolutely want to get more people involved in delivering. And that's one of the ways in which we can increase the number of people we can support. So we can use our skilled professionals to do that high-level assessment work when they're needed and the training is needed. But the follow-on to that, the support to that, the building relationships, the keeping in touch, the forming those networks of social inclusion and support is absolutely something that an army of people could come and help me deliver. So anybody who wants to sign up is more than welcome.
Well, again, on the subject of money, it's very important because nothing can work unless we've got a certain amount of money to spend.
And we get some money from the council, we get some money from the NHS, not enough, but we're a charity, so we also need to raise money as a charity. We do some of that through bidding to grant foundations, but we also fundraise quite a lot, and we've got our spring raffle open at the moment, so if anybody wants to join us, buy some tickets or help us sell some tickets, then that'd be fantastic. Cash prize is £1,000, I think, thanks to a generous sponsor. And you've got until, I think, 27th of March to sell those tickets and get your ticket stubs back into the box. So if anybody wants those, just give us a call and we can get some tickets to you.
So who do they call? Let's say they've heard this and they think, yes, I'd like to buy some of those tickets. How do they go about it?
Just call Vista and ask for the fundraising team. And they can help you with that, absolutely.
That'll be the helpline number, which is 0116 24988839.
See, I knew I had you here. It's only for a reason. And it's right. Also, if you're somebody out there listening and you're already very lucky at lotteries and raffles and you win a lot of prizes and you want somewhere to give all those prizes to, you can always donate unwanted gifts to our charity shops. Don't forget that.
Well, I'm sure you will agree with me when I make this statement that if anyone listening to this knows any relative that's just got the odd couple of thousand lying around doing nothing, donations are always welcome.
Always,
and
yes.
They will always be placed into the very important work of looking after all those with sight loss.
Yes, and we do have a lot of very generous donors, including some people who give us a small donation every month, and some who give us an annual sum or a one-off sum. So we do get those donations, and we utterly rely on them. We're hugely grateful for all of them, and all of those donations go straight back into the services that we provide.
Well, Susan, along with everybody else, we'll keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
That's my pleasure.
Ken's here with some information about the BBC Red Button. Bit of an update, Ken.
Yeah, the BBC Red Button, of course, is a service which is there for people who are disabled in one form or another. And it was an extremely useful service to have. The BBC had announced earlier that they were going to stop that service. But just one day before that was due to happen, they decided not to. And they are carrying on with it. So the Red Button service is now still available. And that was because it seems that a quite large petition was submitted to them, which was collated by several charities to do with various disabilities. So now that they have decided to keep it going, the bad news is they have said they will reassess the situation in the spring. So fingers crossed.
What, for anyone that doesn't know, what are the advantages of the Red Button for someone, say, with sight loss?
The Red Button service actually replaced the CFAX service, which was used by the BBC prior to the Red Button being put in. And essentially, you push the Red Button on your remote control for further information and various other options which are available for people who have some form of disabilities. It's very useful. And hopefully it'll stay that way.
Well, that's all for this edition of Newsline. Thanks to all the staff and volunteers at Applegarth for their celebrations, Amanda and Paul from fundraising. Thanks to Susan Hoth and Ken Russell, Heba Valley from Vista's Digital Vision, Shilpa Gokhani, the roving reporter, and Colette with the Healthline. There's always plenty of news and information about Vista at the website www.vistablind.org.uk, and you can always call Vista on 0116 249 8839. Newsline is produced by Vista Sound Services. Thanks for listening, and please join us again for the next edition of Newsline.